Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike 2099, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slaggy McWaggy 2.
Burmy, the Bagwar Pokemon. To shelter itself from cold, wintry winds, it covers itself with a cloak made of twigs and leaves.
Also with us is Sulker from our old shared show, Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short. Please say hello, Sulker.
You got balls, kid. Great balls. Ultra balls. Premium balls. Luxury balls. Net balls. You name them, you got them.
Today is decision. That's just so many balls.
Balls, 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 balls.
Today is December 7th, 2025, and this is Game Buoy Podcast, episode 187, Pokemon Review, episode Burmy. As this is a direct follow-up to episode 187, episode IPOM, Pokemon Review, we can skip much of the social niceties and preamble and just cut right to the chase. Therefore, this week we're discussing the Pokemon series of games, as we'll highlight some of our favorite recent games and sub-games within the series, and talk about what we'd like to see from future iterations, and generally follow up on how the last 9 years or so have treated this beloved franchise. Additionally, this episode is still a continuation of our exciting Game Buoy Remake Project initiative, something of a key detail in today's episode. We've brought Sulker on this week to help us cover this topic, as he's beautiful, wonderful, and an incredibly invaluable behind-the-scenes support of the show, as well as noted, former co-host of our sister show about Pokemon, the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast. So it really felt like the perfect opportunity to follow up all together, and we really felt like it would be useful to get some additional outside perspective on how this series has fared over the last decade and some change. Lord knows, Slaggy and I love to repeat ourselves on this series. But before we get there, Sulker, why don't you tell our lovely and beautiful listener a little bit about your experience with the Pokemon series? This might be a little bit redundant for our long-time listener, but, you know, since I'm planning to pick things up with Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, why don't you give us the story of your history with the series up to that point?
That's a lot of nice and lovely things that you said about me there, Captain Spike, and I appreciate them, and we'll continue to support the show in pretty much every aspect that I can. In terms of myself and my glorious Pokemon journey and rise to power, that started back in a decade far gone, back when I was in high school, when Pokemon Red first came out, or Pokemon Red Blue. And I've pretty much been with the series from then onward, you know what I mean? I've been, good Arceus, I mean. I've been playing all of the mainline games to some extent. I think there were pretty much only two titles that I haven't finished, and that was Black and White 2, and we'll get into the other title later on. But I'm a longtime fan, and sort of expect that to carry me forward in all ways with the series. And I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
Excellent, excellent. And with that, I would like to transition a little more directly into the discussion itself. But I would, I guess, like to warm up a little bit with a general sense question. So I guess I'd like to ask you, what have you been enjoying playing recently?
Oh, like non-Pokemon related? I have, until recently, been playing a lot of Fortnite, but I find myself moving away from that in the recent weeks, given some current cringe factors going on there regarding their Battle Pass and some AI assets thrown in there. I won't get too deep into that, as I'm sure you guys will probably cover that in a future story. As always, I'm playing the award-winning MMORPG, Final Fantasy XIV, that you can get a free trial. Yeah, I'm not going to bore you guys with the pitch. You know how that game goes and how much you can play for free.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And otherwise, I've been playing a lot of Marvel Rivals recently, which I'm happy to be back into. I'm enjoying playing the new, what is that, 18 versus 18 mode?
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually a big fan of that too, yeah. Which I've been playing with you. It's not a surprise.
Yeah, no. I found that for that mode, Namor is kind of my goat. And I'm now more inclined to get myself Namor cosmetics, which is never a great thing, but I'm happy for it.
Wait, yeah. Namor's a goat?
Only when it comes to throats.
Ooh. I thought it was gonna go to like a variant alligator Loki thing, but okay.
No love.
Excellent. All right. Well then, with all of that having been said, I'd like to ask, are there any upcoming big games that you're looking forward to? Anything that's, you know, you're really excited about?
I was just telling you that I'm interested in or excited to try out the God Slayer. That looks bonkers. I want to play it, but I've only obviously seen a couple of the trailers so far. I'm going to enjoy Metroid Prime 4 at some point when I get around to playing that. I'm sure there are a bunch of other things, but right now with ZA and kind of all the other ongoing games, I guess I look forward to some new JRPGs in the future, but I think that's a given.
Excellent. That reminds me, Slaggy, and we're going to go off script very briefly, but did you see this game, The God Slayer? We're going to probably talk about this trailer in our next episode. So we're giving our Legion of Fan a fourth dimensional peek at next episode. This one is kind of almost like a Assassin's Creed style game where you play as a character with almost like the powers of the Avatar. It looks sick as hell.
Oh, see, when you were talking about God Slayer, Selker, I thought you were just talking about yourself.
Yes.
No,
Slay
no,
hunting.
If it's not on your radar, and I can understand why it might not be since I wasn't aware of it until just like a day ago, but it looks really cool. I definitely recommend looking into it.
Excellent.
Excellent, excellent. All right, then, getting back on track. As noted, I'm planning on picking things up where we last left them on Stabcast. So that is with Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, which we had been discussing on Stabcast during our last run of episodes. For me, it was mostly a more or less lovely revisitation of the original Sun Moon game, but I did actually feel that the original story had been weakened a little bit by some of the revisions that were made for this one. And I had also felt that that was unfortunate, as it was a strong point of the original Sun and Moon releases, the story and presentation. Without going too deep, I'd like to ask you both, and we'll start with Sulker here, what ended up being your overall impressions of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon?
To be honest, I really struggled with this game at first because of how soon we played it after Sun and Moon. The story beat starting off the same really made it feel like a drag at first, but when the story started to shift, focusing on Lusamine not being the main villain, but in fact that the Ultra Beasts and Necrozma in particular were, I thought that was a good shift for the storyline. While the game didn't feel like a big jump from Sun to Moon, it did feel like a great companion to the original story. Plus, I mean, who doesn't love Z moves and alternate forms of some legendaries and Malasadas? Am I right?
Oh my god, I miss Z moves so much. Like, aside from, you know, your Mega Evolution and stuff, I think that was probably my favorite mechanic. Yeah, I think I'm kind of similar to Sulker. Like, I actually enjoyed the changes in the story. You know, it feels like these games, in theory, were kind of a cash grab. I mean, you can kind of say that for, like, Crystal or Emerald or any other extra version they did for each generation. But I really enjoyed the Ultra Dimension and, like, the focus on that. It was definitely an interesting way to revisit it. You know, we had the third versions for so many years, and then Black and White 2. So to kind of have an alternate, like, it's almost like Pokemon Sun and Moon was, like, the manga wasn't finished yet, and they needed to, like, finish making the game. And then the manga came out, and it's like, oh, actually, this is how the story actually ends. So I think it's cool in that way. And I am looking forward to revisiting the Alola generation. I will probably go Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, just because I enjoy the Ultra Dimension.
Excellent. And, you know, it's probably worth noting in response to that. I guess it's probably worth noting that the stories between the original release and Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon are kind of complementary, right? Like, they actually kind of, I guess, add more nuance by really playing through both of them rather than necessarily viewing one as, like, weakening the story, which is how I had felt about it. But it is probably more fair to say that I think that both stories are a little stronger for playing both of them. That having been said, I would probably play the original rather than Ultra Sun Moon, because I feel like the story just hits a little more hard and has kind of deeper themes in its original iteration. That having been said, I don't want to belabor the point. Let's move on. The next major release was a remake, this time adapting Generation 1 into Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. These games were controversial at the time for being somewhat simplified experiences, functioning in the eyes of many as more of an entry point into Pokemon rather than necessarily being the newest, hottest, cutting edge of the gameplay line. I'm actually personally a big fan of the way that these iterations streamlined the game and world design. And I think they've actually aged really well, including the additionally controversial motion controls. I know I'm asking you both to cast your minds back a ways, but what were each of your thoughts on Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu? And we'll start with Sulker here.
Not going to lie, but I have a real soft spot for this game in my memory. It taking us back to the world of Gen 1 and taking us back through some of those classic story elements with new mechanics felt like what my young self playing Pokemon Red would have wanted out of sort of a future iteration. Throwing Pokeballs in particular had such a nice visceral feel that it kind of felt like a revelation in terms of like being in the Pokemon world. I felt more connected to the game because I could see my motions kind of echoed in that world. I thought the leveling was handled pretty well. I believe we had a lot of EXP share, and I think this was one of the first games that did a lot with the EXP capturing, if I'm remembering right. I did like the integration with Pokemon Go, but I never really found much use for it. It did ultimately help me fill out my Pokedex in the game, and so I think that was the only way you could get Meltan over to Let's Go. So I don't know what more I can say on the game that hasn't already been said.
Oh my god, I always forget about Meltan. But yeah, honestly, justice for Let's Go. Like, I thought it was a really fun way to revisit Gen 1. I agree with Sulker. I think the catching mechanics are a lot of fun, especially if you had the Pokeball controller that you could actually like throw a Pokeball, like not actually throw it.
Just be sure you put that wrist strap on, girl.
Right, right. That's why they have the wrist straps. And I'm pretty sure
if you can't handle those balls, you shouldn't be throwing them around like that.
Very true. I'm pretty sure I've said at some point on the show that if we ever get modern remakes of Gen 2 or Gen 3, because if you think about it, even Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, or Omega Sapphire, Alpha Ruby, no, it's the other way around, like, that was back in the DS days already? Yikes. So I would really prefer them to be in this style rather than, we'll talk about that later. And I know that a lot of people were like, oh, well, why isn't it Pokemon Yellow and Pokemon Brown? Okay, those colors don't sound good together.
Pokemon Brownies, Pokemon Lemonade.
I mean, I would play Pokemon Brown Note, but I feel like that would have to be very, like, Chatot focused.
And it would be Chatot and Snorlax with the Poke Flute playing the Brown Note, yeah.
And Squawkabilly. Mm-hmm.
Squawkabilly. Yeah, there'd be some squawking, all right. You know, Captain Spike, I remember we revisited the virtual console releases of Gen 1 back on episode 104. I believe that would have been on the 3DS when they put those Gen 1
they weren't even remakes. They were just on Virtual Console. And I remember us talking about, like, ooh.
They should be on the Nintendo Classics app, but please continue.
Right? Well, the thing is, I remember, at least, I haven't listened to that episode in almost 10 years, but I seem to recall looking back, you know, like, oh, it's cute to revisit this, but oof, you know, after how far we've come, it's a bit tough to go back to, like, Gen 1 and kind of not have all the quality of life that we are used to.
It can be really challenging.
Yeah, so I think that something like Let's Go is a lovely way to revisit those games. And I am waiting for Let's Go Togepi and Snubbull, because they were kind of like the anime mascots of Gen 2, so let's have it.
It's rare that I say this, Slaggy, but you are absolutely correct, and you have my axe.
I mean, I know that those wouldn't be the most exciting starter Pokemon, but...
No, but they're iconic from the anime, so it makes them perfect in the same way that Pikachu Eevee was done. So I have no notes. You're absolutely right. And get on it, Game Freak.
Right. Are they both fairy types now? I think they are.
Well, maybe it wouldn't be a good idea for typing, but I don't care. It would be cute. All right. Well, with that having been said, then, the next release actually was Pokemon Sword and Shield. These two followed only a year later. And this seemingly truncated development window for many of us kind of presaged an ill portent regarding our beloved series. And ultimately, it did come to pass. I speak, of course, of the dual woes of Dexit, i.e. the national Dex being reduced for the first time, as well as many concerns about the game's animation being substandard. Of course, I have to note about Dexit, we had seen a reduction in available Pokemon in the Let's Go iteration, but I think for a lot of us, it was easy to overlook there because of the type of remake it was that was really specifically throwing back to that kind of classic world experience. Whereas this really felt like the first time that we were asked to be moving forward, even without necessarily all of the Pokemon that we had raised in our dexes, you know, so to speak, or banks, or what was the Pokemon app that we used to use? Pokemon Transporter or something?
I remember when I had to use a link cable.
Oh, good lord.
Right. Well, so the excuses for Dexit had actually been basically that the total number of Pokemon was reduced so that the dev team could focus on higher quality animations, right? So the fact that people had these concerns about the game's visuals and particularly animations being substandard kind of left people ending up feeling double shafted. For my own tastes and experiences, I have to say, and this is likely to nobody's surprise, I was still a fan, you know, just with a little bit of nuance. From a gameplay perspective, I enjoyed the generation a lot. In terms of how they approached the design, I actually enjoyed the storytelling a lot. I thought there were some really good NPCs this time around. It is true that there is a degree to which I was fairly mad about Dexit and the animation focus and stuff. But in hindsight, it's really difficult for me to retain a lot of that negative sentiment, particularly about the Dexit stuff. As you know, that's all been long since patched and more or less fixed. The animation visual stuff, it was unfortunate, but it was also kind of overblown to me. I think really it was kind of a design concession in order to execute on the open world slash wild areas in the game. These were, you know, open world areas where Pokemon would spawn in the world around you and you would interact with them and with your Pokemon with them, sort of more in line with the way that a lot of us had always imagined the series working. These areas in this iteration also had like a drop-in online elements to some degree. There was a whole set of features which unfortunately, when you would interact with, would also make the game's performance profile really chug. This game was expanded on with DLC. Part one was the Isle of Armor. Part two was the Crown Tundra. Slaggy, my recollection is that we discussed this game in a fair amount of detail back in episode 169. So I will ask that you be a little brief here. Anyone who is seeking our full impressions can go seek that episode out. So Sulker, I would like to give you the floor so that you can start us off here.
You know, it's great that you brought up how Dexit and the animations were kind of, you know, related and all that, because initially they were just going to make the Pokemon sort of stick figures that you could fight with. But, you know, they had to go and get rid of some Pokemon to make things look more real. Initially, because of the release window, I thought maybe I wasn't going to be ready for a new Pokemon game during the initial waves of promo and hype for the game. But as we kind of got into that release week, I remember that's when I started to finally sort of allow myself to start falling in love with the concept of the game. I thought that the story itself was actually really excellent, despite sort of the technical stuff that you've kind of talked through. Having us engage early on and often with the champion made it feel like more of a complete story to me. It felt like Leon was part of the game's DNA, and so like the actual end battle with him felt really meaningful to me. This was also the first time I felt really immersed in the game world, with the switch to a more like 3D setting than some of the stuff we got in Sun and Moon era or even Let's Go. In particular, the inclusion of the wild areas hit that note for me, and I felt as if I could spend all of my time hunting, training, and preparing curry for my Pokemon endlessly. And just to make a note of the two expansions, I seem to recall having a bit more fun with the Crown Tundra than the Isle of Armor, but I can't really recall why, and it may just be as much as, like, I liked the sunny setting versus the fighting setting. I can't, or not sunny, but, like, the snowy setting versus, like, the fighting setting. But that really covers what I recall about that generation.
Excellent. And Slaggy, what about you?
Yeah, I have a lot of fond memories of this generation. There's a lot of really great Pokemon. I also agree that it had a great story, and I just really like the world a lot. And those outweigh some of those performance issues with the wild area. You know, that was unfortunate, but it didn't ruin the overall game experience for me. I thought it was a great first step towards open world that we really saw carried on in the following generation. I really enjoyed the Gigantamax raids. I remember doing those often with both of you. I also really liked the Dynamax adventures that they added in one of the DLC expansion pass. I feel like on that note, actually, because this was the first game that had DLC, it kind of was the death of alternate versions within the same gen. That kind of sucks because, you know, I really always enjoyed things like Pokemon Crystal and Ultra Sun and Moon, as we talked about. So that's kind of a bummer, but, you know, it's a sign of the times. And I want to go replay Sword and Shield now.
All right. I have to say to Sulker, of course, thank you for bringing up. I had really forgotten the curry preparation minigame. That was so cute.
I mean, that's why I make curry in real life now. That's why it's one of my favorite foods.
Oh, and you feed it to your pets too, don't you?
Actually, no, because I put a lot of garlic and onion and do not feed garlic and onion to your real life Pokemon, aka pets, people. That's been your pet PSA.
Yeah, good advice.
And I also wanted to say to you, Slaggy, thank you for bringing up the Gigantamax raids. I had thought that those were really great, and I really like the ways that those have been mechanically expanded on, even though thematically I would really rather we just get Gigantamax back.
Right.
So with all that having been said, then we next got another controversial release. This one was the remakes Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Pokemon Shining Pearl. These aren't controversial for, you know, their nature of being remakes having been any type of surprise or what have you. Rather, these were controversial because rather than being a full remake in the current modern style of the mainline, this set of remakes are rather just visual updates that otherwise maintain an identical gameplay and presentation style to the original iterations, down to even running some version of the original DS-era game logic underneath the shiny new facade. Kind of as a direct result of that execution slash implementation, for me, this release ended up being a little bit of a miss. I actually haven't beaten the remake version of this release as a result, as I think I've noted in previous episodes. I have been planning a revisitation of this release. I'd like to see it all the way through. I've even prepared some Pokemon boxes in my Pokemon bank for it. I'd like to ask both of you, how did this one land for you? And I'm going to switch things up very slightly here, and I'm going to let Slaggy start.
Yeah, I've talked about this recently, so I'm not going to say too much. I remember playing it for a little bit when it first came out. I remember having a lot of fun with the Grand Underground. I didn't really feel motivated at the time to finish. And when I tried to revisit it just recently, I've talked about it on recent episodes, it just kind of felt like a step backwards. I probably will at some point go back and properly finish them. It's just, I don't think was enough of a proper remake for, you know, especially coming after Let's Go. Like, it just felt like a step backwards. And so for me, it was harder to engage with it.
Well, and apologies for stepping on what you're saying, but for me, building on what you're saying, I really feel like because of this implementation, it really doesn't feel like a step forward into a modern gameplay experience, and so I'm still left wanting that.
Right, right.
And then for you, Sulker, I'd like to ask, how did this one land for you?
So when this came out, I wasn't exactly Mr. Hype Train for it. But I really did enjoy getting to revisit Sinnoh, because I'll tell you the truth here, I never actually beat Diamond or Pearl back in the day. But I did beat this, so it was a great time for me, but only because it was still kind of truly new in some regards. I think that one thing I recall during the gameplay was that compared to like Sword and Shield, the game felt much harder in terms of difficulty spikes, sort of emblematic of the older generations of the game. Ultimately, I had a good time going through the story, but looking at my boxes, which I did in prep for today's show, I can see that I pretty much stopped playing once I beat the champion. I could not tell you if I spent even an hour playing after the main story was done. That said, I did take some time to take what I consider like my good Pokemon out of that game today and put them on Pokemon Home, because I think I, like Spike, will probably be gearing up for a replay of this in the near future.
That's exciting stuff. You know, I was kind of thinking it's ironic, but this is of the modern generation of Pokemon titles already the one that's screaming out to be like emulated so that we can play it at a higher speed and get through some of the let's just call it jank that is still present due to this implementation. I would already like another remake. Cool.
That's kind of sad for them if you think about it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk then about the next major installment. This, I think, was for many of us a real breath of fresh air. The next major installment, it was a bit of a new experiment. It's a little bit less of a mainline game in terms of setting and rather more of a spinoff. However, in terms of the way they released it, the way they've treated it, it was absolutely presented in line with the mainline entries. And I would argue has really design-wise been a major step forward for the series that has led the main line with it. This, of course, was Pokemon Legends Arceus. For me, this sort of did a Pokemon of the Wild type approach. It sort of brings the entire region into a sort of a micro and macro, like, hyper exploration design. You know, not only do we have like a big, beautiful, well-realized world to traverse, we end up getting, you know, an assortment of traversal abilities to explore it. There are a ton of well-designed little nooks and crannies that have things to really obsess over. This game ended up being a huge hit for me. In a lot of ways, it really revitalized my Pokemon energy after having kind of fizzled so hard off of Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. My recollection is that this was a hit for you both as well. But let me ask, what did you think of Legends Arceus? And we're going to start with Sulker this time.
This game is incredible. I cannot say enough positive things about this game in the time that we have sought it out for today. But I will say that I think this game was a masterpiece for me. The combat system that the Legends offshoots of games uses is something that I personally find very gratifying. The sort of having your Pokemon run around with me in the wild, being able to ride specific Pokemon as I explored the world and using those different traveled mechanics filled me with a joy that I don't think many other games in or out of the Pokemon series have replicated since. The isekai aspect of the game story was a wonderful touch and something that I had thought they might do in the rest of the Legends series, but I know that's not the case, and we'll talk about that in a bit. A final note, I really did enjoy watching the town sort of evolve over time as you completed subquests and like brought people into contact with wild Pokemon, and it all just felt very wonderful open world and the evolution of the series that I had kind of been waiting for.
Absolutely. I should note, I likewise really, really appreciated both the story presentation as well as the town development stuff. Really, really enjoyed these aspects and the game in general. And then Slaggy, I'd like to hear from you as well.
Yeah, I love Pokemon Legends Arceus. I think that y'all covered it pretty well. Like, the story was great. Just the kind of visual design, the way the world looked. Obviously, the game mechanics were, like, really satisfying. I really just loved being able to explore the areas and kind of the different traversal mechanics. And I'm really glad that this was such a success. I feel like if it had kind of flopped, it wouldn't have ended up becoming a sub-series, which really, you know, is less of a side game and more closer to a mainline game, even though it's not, you know, fully the, you know, traditional Pokemon experience we have come to expect from historical perspectives. So, yeah, I think we owe a lot to this game for not only what it's opened up with the Legends series now, but, you know, I think we're going to continue to see the mainline games kind of, they're not, I don't think they're ever going to be fully the same as Legends, but I do feel like we're going to start to see ideas in these Legends games kind of trickle into the mainline series. So,
well, and I believe that's already happened to a degree. I did feel like some of the really cool world traversal stuff from Legends Arceus did end up following into Scarlet Violet, which we'll be talking about
absolutely
shortly. Yeah. So yeah, no, I think that you're absolutely right about Legends' success and the way that it is impacting the larger series now, and how I hope it continues to do so, because like Sulker said, it's been experimenting with the battle system in really interesting and exciting ways. And frankly, I think we've all been saying for years that, you know, the mainline series could use more shakeups. So we'd love to see it.
One thing that I don't think we touched on in general that this game really brought to the Pokemon fandom was the divisiveness and the braveness that the Pokemon company had in naming this game Pokemon Legends Arceus. And really getting rid of the good old name of Arceus.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, I think we have to move on to one that we have a special term here for on the show. This next one, released in 2022, was controversial.
My God.
This, of course, was Scarlet and Violet, and I had referenced them previously because I am, again, in a broad sense, a fan. But to put it mildly, this one is complicated. From my perspective, they are really interesting but technically flawed titles that are just worth suffering through. But it's worth noting, even me saying suffering through this way is a little bit of an exaggeration. Even before the Switch 2 upgrade, but certainly now, you know, the games did run at a suboptimal frame rate. There were frame pacing issues, particularly as Pokemon would get further away from the camera. But for me, I always felt like the game worked, that the mechanics were solid. I never felt that things were so broken that I could not engage. Now, the primary negative responses that this game saw, and it did, I think it's fair to say, receive a widely mixed result, widely mixed responses, many of which were very, very negative and really centered around the game's graphics and frame rate. There were also some negative responses that were owing to the new sort of non-linear approach to the game's main story or campaign. I had seen a lot of critics at the time who had felt that that made this iteration feel particularly aimless. My thing is, for my money, I actually really enjoyed the freedom of being able to effectively pursue three different stories at a time. In this one, in this iteration, you had like the Victory Road route, the Starfall Tree Street route, and the Path of Legends route. And so one was like, oh, I'm doing like my school life, and one is like, oh, I'm going out and hunting for legendary Pokemon. For me, it ended up just being a really cool experience that felt very different from any other Pokemon games, while still decidedly being a Pokemon game. It's kind of what I want from a new iteration of a series. I did really feel that the technical performance prevented the online sort of endgame activity of Terra raids with friends really from achieving sort of the fullest highs that were really possible for it. But taken in whole, I'm a fan of this iteration. It was given three large content updates, two via DLC. These were the Teal Mask and the Indigo Disc, both at the end of 2023, and then Mochi Mayhem released. It was sort of an epilogue to both the DLC and the full game story the following January. I'd like to hear both of your thoughts.
If your game doesn't play like a claymation classic animation, I don't want to play it.
Okay, we'll go with you first. Let's hear what you have to say.
Look, I wanted to love this game. I love the Pokemon in it. I love the story elements of the game and kind of the three different segments that you just talked on. I even really like the Koridon travel elements that they borrowed from Arceus. But the technical performance of the game was, putting it lightly, something of a miss for me. I recall being in the Terra Raids with you, Spike, Slaggy, and our friend Dark Shifter, and the game just had a way of like chugging to a halt and crashing or dropping us entirely. That said, I definitely had a lot of fun with it. All of the usual tropes that come with a Pokemon game were exciting and fun for me. Heck, I think some of my favorite Pokemon in recent years actually come from this title. I'm looking at you, Dashbun, Skeledirge, Grimmsnarl, and Houndstone in particular. All in all, while it wasn't a perfect game, I had fun with it, and I got to play with my friends. So, what more could I want?
Yeah, I feel that. You know, you talking about the raids, it really is worth noting. We had been hammering those raids pretty hard, playing them daily pretty seriously. And then we kind of hit a point where it felt like when we were doing, like, the max difficulty ones, where we would be failing them purely due to technical performance issues, where, like, people would not be getting all their turns as they should be getting, or people would do damage and like the enemy damage bar straight wouldn't move for no reason the game was communicating to us. So in that regard, actually, I would say that the technical issues really prevented that game from being all that it could. And I had kind of, I guess, memory hold that until you brought it up specifically.
Well, yeah.
That having been said, like you say, there were so many incredibly designed Pokemon this generation.
Well, yeah, and like I really recall a couple of sessions, like you said, where we were very specifically like, okay, this is the event this month. We're going to work through it as a group because we know we have the right typing, and we would just keep failing back to back because of technical issues rather than the performance of our team. And I think that that was a shame.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Slaggy, I'd like to hear what your thoughts were on this one.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I think more of the Gigantamax raids than I do of the Terra raids, because that's right. I must have kind of forgotten about that because of the technical issues. Like, I just think it's a shame that these games got written off largely, you know, kind of by the public due to the technical issues, you know, which I think I haven't gotten too far in the Switch 2 versions, or they're not even officially Switch 2 versions. There's just, you know, a patch, really. And so, you know, I prefer to think of it, to put a little bit of a positive spin on it, is that they were just really ambitious and maybe pushed the Switch a little bit harder than it should be pushed. And terrestrializing was cute. It wasn't my favorite mechanic. I feel like they just were like, oh, we need another Mega Evolution sort of mechanic. Let's see what we could do. I liked that you could have different Terra types. That was something that was kind of cool. I think it really built on the open world elements from Sword and Shield really well. Like, I talked about on one of the episodes we did earlier this year when we got our Switch 2, is about how I loaded up Scarlet and, you know, started a new game and basically spent between 4 to 6 hours just in that starting area before even going to the school, just trying to find different Pokemon. And then when I did go to the school and unlocked, you know, the main game, like, I was like, oh yeah, like you were saying, Captain Spike, the different modes that you could do with the Starfall Street, Victory Road, Path of Legends, like, you know, the original Pokemon games really would have just had that go fight the gyms, and you basically have to do it in this order. You might be able to sequence break a little bit, but, you know, that freedom I thought was really great. So I actually did not get around to the DLC, including what in Japan's called Kibi Kibi Panic, which I choose to believe is a Doki Doki Panic reference. That's the Japanese name for Mochi Mayhem. So at some point when I have a little bit more time that's not taken up by other games, I look forward to getting back to my Scarlet save and finally getting around to the DLC, because I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, I have to respond to a couple things here. First off, it's ironic because I think the technical implementation of how they executed terrestrialization is probably a huge part of the performance profile issues. I distinctly remember when we would be playing as a group, the enemy would be terrestrialized and then one of us would terrestrialize and like the frame rate would just tank. That having been said, as a mechanic, as designed, I actually love terrestrialization. The idea that your Pokemon's type changes with it based on what terrestrialization it came with, for me, leads to some really interesting potential, like ace in a hole type plays that I get really into. That having been said, man, just you talking about playing, starting a new save and just like enjoying the world with its new better performance profile on Switch 2. I literally was like, as you were describing it, I'm like, wow, that sounds so fun.
It's very Breath of the Wild, like, now that you can not have the game chugging.
Yeah, why do I feel like there's going to be a Stabcast group of us replaying this game?
I support it. I think it sounds like a good time.
I mean, we need something to do after we record this episode.
Ah, you're not wrong. All right. Well, all of this brings us to the most recent Pokemon release. This one is, of course, Pokemon Legends Z to A. This is another major installment that is also a bit of a spin-off, like its predecessor, Pokemon Legends Arceus. And much like its predecessor, Zeta A is a very experimental game, taking wild new swings at some of the tried-and-true concepts of the series, probably most notably bringing a real-time action component to the battles. I think that has been a real major talking point about this game, both in the run-up to its release, as well as now that we have received it. Slag, you and I have already spoken at great detail about this game in recent weeks. So Sulker, I'd like to hear your thoughts writ large on this title. And for Slaggy, for you, I'd like to hear sort of your concluding thoughts or anything you might like to add on top of what you've said in recent weeks. For the sake of this conversation, I will note that I really enjoyed this one, even though I also felt that it was something of a step back from the inaugural installment of the Legends subseries. I personally, my own theory is that this was kind of a more conservative game design slash implementation on the technical level, owing to the backlash that the technical performance profile of Scarlet Violet saw. But I just sort of broadly feel that it is a little bit smaller of a world that doesn't have the increased depth and complexity that I would be looking for in a world that is reduced in size from how Pokemon Legends Arceus still happened to be a big world and have a lot of small detail. So right now I'm really still feeling like there's a little bit missing from Legends Zeta, even though I was very happy with it. Like, I'm at practically a 100% completion right now. So I'm certainly having a good time, just while noting, you know, it's a little nuanced. I don't think it's quite as tight as the last one. But maybe my opinion will develop further after I see what is added in the Mega Dimension DLC upcoming next week, that is to say December 10th, 2025. But until then, I guess I'd like to ask, what say you both? And we have been trending towards Sulker first this episode, so I will give Slaggy the opportunity to start here.
Yeah, you know, I have talked about this quite a bit in my What's Ups. I just last night finally captured one of the post-game Pokemon. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's trying to be spoiler-free. So that was a big accomplishment. I also, I basically am ready for the DLC at this point. So I overall really enjoy it. I think because I enjoy it, that's why I'm a little critical of things that maybe were a little frustrating, like some of the boss battles or ways that they could have gone bigger. But, you know, part of that is with the size of Lumiose, like how it feels kind of small. I feel like this is probably a case of where it was kind of limited by being a cross-gen release. If it was a Switch 2 exclusive, I feel like they absolutely no problem could have made Lumiose City the size of, like, Night City from Cyberpunk 2077. Switch 1, obviously, I mean, I can't say for sure. I feel like that would have not worked out great. I just kind of wish it had a bigger map, because I really would have loved to explore a city that really felt city size. And then even, honestly, going fully from rank Z to rank A, I won't elaborate further to avoid spoilers. Those things would have maybe made it a 10 out of 10 for me. I'm still playing it, was literally trying to catch some alpha Pokemon earlier. I think it's a great follow-up to X and Y, which were great games. I look forward to the Mega Dimension DLC. I would say it's still one of my top games of the year, even if it's not a 10 out of 10, and, you know, I'm really eager to see how this both leads to new ideas being explored in the Legends series and in the mainline Pokemon RPGs.
Excellent. I agree with much of what you said. You really reminded me. I would love to revisit X and Y. I'd like those to get a remake sometime soon.
Yeah, that was one of Coldplay's underrated albums, wasn't it?
Oh, God. Sulker, take us away from here.
I was going to add to Slaggy's point. As someone who played through Cyberpunk on Switch 2 as my really only entry point into that series, I agree that I would have loved to see a much larger Lumio City, because we know that the Switch 2 can handle that. And I also echo the sentiment that I don't think the Switch 1 would have done very well with that. So small Lumios kind of makes sense. Okay, Mira, this game is fantastic. I'm still playing it periodically, even though I've beaten the game. And I'm doing this so that I can work on my endless Z-A match grind, which I've not yet finished. I love that we came back to Lumio City and the concept of it being 5 years after the events of X and Y, bringing that focus back to Mega Evolutions, when we've kind of, you know, throughout this discussion have talked about the various gimmicks that they've brought to us over the years since Mega Evolution was first introduced to us. I thought that the story itself was good, also blending in those elements of Mega Evolution and what that means for the setting. Following some of the new faces that we get to meet on the team that we end up working with, and dealing with the events of the fallout of the 5 years prior story. I really liked the involvement of former Team Flare members and how those characters evolved as well. Strangely, I enjoyed the online battle system, which is not my usual. But using the combat system developed over the Legend series made it seem more enjoyable to me, I guess. I will say that I wish they had brought over more of the travel aspects from Arceus. Maybe instead of like using the hollow elevators to like get to the top of buildings, you could use a flying Pokemon to ride updrafts or something. Or like maybe even just let me ride a Pokemon around town. I know that that would ultimately highlight just how small the map is, but at the very minimum, I wouldn't feel like I just need to go to my pause screen, look for a flight location, and keep just kind of jumping around the map that way. At any rate, I expect that I'm going to keep throwing in some time with this game, both to finish up sort of the end game content, and as we get into the Mega Dimensions DLC next week, I'm clearly going to be giving this game some further attention. So big happy A+ from me on this one.
Excellent. I also want to thank you for bringing up those online battles. You know, a lot of us are only really playing the ranked mode because Nintendo has gated the Mega Evolution materials, like the held items that are involved in unlocking those, for several very popular starter Pokemon behind the ranked battle modes as rewards. That having been said, I think a lot of us, once we have gotten into this ranked battle mode and have just poked around with using the real-time battle system against others, have ended up having kind of a surprisingly fun time with it. I know I have. I've heard this from you. I've heard it from a few folks online. Psyche, did you was that your experience as well?
I've really only played it for getting the Mega Stones, but I think it's definitely a cute twist on online Pokemon battles, PvP, so to speak. Like, it almost feels kind of like a battleground or like a front line, like in a World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy 14 way, which will be interesting to see how they kind of develop that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be very interested in seeing them continue doing this type of mode. But I would also like, and I'm hoping that the DLC will have a sort of everybody groups up on one big NPC enemy mode. So hopefully that type of thing is coming.
Yes, please.
Oh, and Poke for your raid. Listener, please do check out the mystery gifts right now. There's some really good stuff in there that will also unlock some story event stuff if you haven't done so yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good call out. All right. Well, I think that actually does it for the mainline titles. With the mainline titles finally out of the way, and in the rear view, I would like to talk a little bit about some of the smaller sub-series spin-offs the franchise has seen in recent years. Pokemon has always been a little bit of a cash cow franchise, so, you know, taking as many bites as the apple as as many bites at the apple as possible has long been Nintendo and the Pokemon Company's prerogative. With that in mind, I'd like to start off by asking you both about some of the smaller releases that we have seen spin off out of the franchise. Specifically in the recent era, we're talking about stuff like the Nintendo Classics releases of the Pokemon trading card game on Game Boy, as well as Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Red Rescue Team for Game Boy Advance. We also have the Pokemon trading card game Pocket on mobile, and Pokemon Cafe on mobile with a Switch version as well. Some of these games have really committed little fan bases, people enjoying them frequently. I'd like to get your guys' takes, and we started with Slaggy last time, so let's start with Sulker.
First and foremost, I have to say that I am shocked, appalled perhaps even, that you didn't say Bites of the Appleton.
Ah, you're absolutely right. I am shamed.
Let's see. So of those that we're kind of talking about here, the Pokemon TCGP or TCG Pocket, I initially, when this came out last year, it was last year, I think, right? Because we just had a year celebration for it.
Yeah.
I was playing this pretty religiously to the point of, like, I would go in, I would do all of the events, whether they were versus or if it was like a solo, like, grind against a certain deck to get stuff. But recently I've only found myself doing card pools. I just don't see myself really playing in that competitive space as much anymore. So that's unfortunate, but it is where I'm at with the game right now. I'm actually considering taking off my sub for it because, like, okay, I get an extra card pull every day, but not logging in every day anymore. So we'll see how that ends up going. Pokemon Cafe, it's a cool little game, but I don't really have the drive for it. I think it's cute in terms of, like, the ways that you can, like, get your little Pokemon dressed up, have them working at your cafe. And I think all of the aesthetic is there for something that I would like, but particularly the gameplay is not really something that I find engaging. And so the Pokemon Cafe really isn't for me. Regarding the trading card game on GBC, I don't think I ever actually played that, but seeing that it's on Nintendo Classics, maybe I'll give it a shot and see how I like it. And Rescue Team I can't even remember the name of this one. Red Rescue Team for GBA. I don't think I played it, or if I did, I really just do not remember it. Like, I have the vaguest memory of, like, engaging with it when it first came out, but I could not tell you a single detail about it.
Honestly, that's fair enough. I am a fan of the Mystery Dungeon series in general, both Pokemon and non-Pokemon alike, so that one does definitely stand out for me, but if it doesn't for you, it might be time to revisit it, particularly since you can do so included in your subscription already.
Well, then maybe I'll do that.
Excellent, excellent. And yeah, no, I really feel you on what you were saying about PTCGP. It was kind of a bummer for me, a little bit of an inflection point when I canceled my subscription. But again, likewise, I realized I was only logging in like 2 days a week, so it really was literally not worth it. So that having been said, I do have a lot of fun collecting my cards, and seeing all of the card art at a nice high resolution is very nice. I've also been enjoying having these games on Nintendo Classics. Slaggy, let's get to you. How have these games been going for you? Have you been dipping in?
I'm glad to hear you both say that about TCG Pocket, because I had the same experience probably a little bit sooner than both of you, where I was like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to pay the whatever it is a month for the gold pass or whatever they call it, so I could get double card pulls. But then, like, I feel like I've talked about this on Game Buoy before. Like, I'm just not great at keeping up with mobile games for whatever reason. Like, kind of the way that you engage with them just like doesn't work for me. And so I really haven't logged in nearly enough, but I see people on social media like, oh, you know, this is the deck I'm running, and people having a really good time with it. So not that I have FOMO, but I just kind of thought I was like one of the only ones there. I actually have never played any mystery dungeon games, Pokemon or otherwise, surprisingly. So it'll probably be an easy way to do that, since I don't think they've had any new, I almost said rescue teams, any mystery dungeon games in quite a while for Pokemon, or generally speaking. And not to beat a dead Rapidash, but I love trading card game for Game Boy Color. I've talked about this many times. I really have very fond memories of that. Surprisingly, I've not gotten around to it on Nintendo Classics, but that's just a matter of time. I always thought that was a really cute way to experience the card game in an RPG setting.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the one thing I'd really like to note there is that the most recent release in the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon series, that had actually been the Rescue Team DX release for Switch. This was in 2020.
Oh.
And so it's a remake of Blue Rescue Team and Red Rescue Team, featuring, you know, a new art style and new features, including Mega Evolution.
Oh, that'll be a good way to see if I enjoy it and then want to play the modern realness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that could be fun. We could all three of us play Red Rescue Team, and then any of us who enjoy it enough could upgrade to the new remake.
That is a thing that we could do.
It's not costing you anything except your Nintendo Switch Online subscription.
It doesn't cost much. Just your voice.
Oh, well, I'll be keeping that then.
Okay, Ursula.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right. Well, then, similar to earlier eras, in addition to the smaller titles we just discussed, there have also been a fair number of larger spin-offs. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of love for Pokken Tournament since the 2017 Switch port of Pokken Tournament DX, but we have had a number of exciting releases, such as Pokemon Unite, available for both mobile and Switch. It's a MOBA. Not only is it a MOBA, but we as a group actually played it for like a shocking lot for the first year. Like, we were playing like ranked MOBA games on this one. Let's see, as well as that, we also got the much requested sequels / reimaginings, new Pokemon Snap and Detective Pikachu Returns, both for Switch. In addition, we also have the recently announced Pokopia. This is a farm / life sim along the lines of a Harvest Moon or an Animal Crossing. This one is coming to Switch 2 on March 5th, 2026. I guess I'd like to ask both of you what your experiences with these titles are, and if Pokopia is something you're looking forward to. Slaggy, let's give you the baton and let's run from there.
Baton pass!
Baton pass! Yeah, it's funny to think about how much we were playing that, because I've never really been super interested in MOBAs, but like, I enjoyed Unite. I don't think I could go back to it at this point. I've just been out of it for too long. But it was a lot of fun. I really loved new Pokemon Snap. I had never really played a lot of Snap on the N64, but I thought that they did a really good job. I think Bandai Namco were responsible for that one. I had a lot of fun. I would love more Pokemon Snaps. Just give me more. I also think that Pokopia looks cute. I've talked about that, you know, when we had the announcement of it. I am certain I will enjoy spending time with it. I have not ever played either of the Detective Pikachu games, either the original or Returns, despite enjoying the movie quite a lot.
Might be time to check that out.
Did they ever have a voice pack for
Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, I was asking about Danny DeVito.
They should have even them better. Both. Excellent. All right.
Oh my god, then. Danny DeVito, I love your work.
Sulker, what about you?
Okay, so is it weird that as someone who was obsessed with the original Pokemon Snap that I didn't actually play the new version? Yes. But do I stand by that decision? No. I just never got to play it while it was topical. Maybe I just need to go back and do so because I definitely have more time now, right? I, like Slaggy, haven't played either of the Detective Pikachu games.
Shocked Pikachu face.
Shocked Pikachu face indeed. But it is something that's kind of like a bucket list item that I just will maybe find time for. We'll see. As noted, I did play a lot of Unite during those first few seasons, and I think the game possibly brought out the worst in me. as in, I started deriving, like, real pleasure from owning people as Decidueye, or, like, whoever I was playing at the time. Like, shout out to Blastoise, because there was a big chunk of time I played Blastoise. Ultimately, I stopped playing that game due to the power creep that we would see every time that a new Pokemon came out. Like, that Pokemon would be super overpowered and wouldn't get tuned down for a few weeks and was kind of like always the new redefining of the meta of the game. So I don't know that I'll ever go back to Unite, but I do think that those memories will remind me that I am a hate-filled individual and carry me forward. I'm definitely excited to play Pukopia, because cozy games are nice. However, I expect that as someone who requires a little bit more conflict in my games, that I will probably see my interest wane pretty quick, unless there are story elements that sort of bring up some tension, which I'm kind of hoping for, kind of based on the initial trailer showing us this Ditto kind of lost in the world by themselves. So I'm hoping there'll be a little bit of grit and dark there for me to latch onto.
I don't know that there's necessarily going to be a lot of grit and darkness, but I hope that there's at least enough texture to maintain interest.
Yeah, that.
I think it's funny that you both brought up that you wouldn't be inclined to play more Unite, because I often recall those times and I think very fondly of them, but then I also, when I think about returning, I'm just like, oh god, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, then with all of that in mind, all of that, and this, I guess, is where we start coming to some conclusions, summations. Let's ask, how are you feeling about where Pokemon games are at right now? And I want to start then with Sulker.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with the Switch 2 hardware for their next mainline game. I think that all of the ideas that they've had recently and in recent iterations have been pretty solid for these generations, but they've been more ambitious than the hardware they've been working on allows, in my opinion. As sort of a through line in this discussion, I think. I know you've all talked about the leaks that came out recently on previous episodes, and so I'll be real honest, I'm super excited to see where those titles go, but I'm obviously going to hold my judgment on them until we get some real factual data about them. Absolutely. In the coming years.
Absolutely. And then I guess for you then, Slaggy, same question.
You could best sum it up as the sitcom famously starring Alan Thicke, Growing Pains. In all seriousness, I do feel like the past few years have seen a lot of growing pains for the series. Like, they really have had a lot of ambitious ideas. But aside from some of the spinoffs, like the Legends series and New Pokemon Snap, you know, the mainline games definitely have been held back a little bit by the technical limitations of the Switch 1. And I obviously love the Switch 1. Like, I will always... I was always champion that system. Also, based on what we've learned recently through some of these leaks, possibly a little bit by their budget. These games, you know, $20 million or whatever, like, that sounds like a lot. But when you think of how expensive some of these, like, super big AAA games budgets get to be, like, that's a pretty inexpensive game. I think the kind of the overall theme is that any limitations that any of the games may have been outweighed by my enjoyment of the games. And I don't think that's just because I didn't like grow up as like a wee child with Pokemon, but you know, from my teenage years to the present day, you know, I don't think that that's just, you know, nostalgia creeping. And I still think that these games have a lot to offer. And, you know, I think that they are going in the right direction.
Excellent. I will say, I think that that was a really insightful comment to sum this period up as growing pains, right? I think in the future, we will look back with retrospective perspective on the Switch 1 era for Pokemon as a period of transition, and really where we really saw the change from a two-dimensional game design and world design to really a more fully fleshed out three-dimensional design and execution, and executing that 3D vision at a higher level with a higher performance.
Yeah, because, you know, with growing pains, you just have to take things step by step. I will say with, like, over 1,000 Pokemon now, those Pokemon boxes get to be quite the full house.
To say nothing of all those family matters.
Oh, don't even get me started.
This conversation is filled with Three's Company. Did I do it? Did I do the thing?
Perfect. All right, we're getting long in the tooth here. Let's start wrapping this up. Now that we've established how we all feel about the current state of Pokemon, let me ask you, and this is a bit of a two-pronged question. So the A side is, what are you hoping to see out of the mainline future Pokemon series of games moving forward? And even though I have asked Solker to start a lot here, I'm going to ask Solker to start here again because he is the guest.
I want to live in a Pokemon world, Pokemon. That being said, I want a game that is Pokemon world. I know there's leaks that kind of indicate that, and we won't really get into it, but I want a whole open world Pokemon game. I want Pokemon in space on little spaceships. I want them flying around in little Pokeballs. I want them in multi-reality crossovers, doing mashups across mainline titles, and like going through different historical periods of the Pokemon world. It would be great, though, if we could continue to see them making space in the game for cute moments with your Pokemon. I really love the idea and the implementation of having meals together, whether it's curry or sandwiches or whatever they want to do in the future. It's not just the mechanical bonuses for me. They're nice. Don't get me wrong. I love the extra stats or experience, but what it comes down to at the end of the day is that it feels like my Pokemon and I are part of some larger community and taking a moment to just enjoy each other's company in a way that I think the imagination of everyone who has played the Pokemon series at one point or another has kind of leapt into when they look at their team. So I really want to see that continue on in the future.
Excellent, excellent. And then, Saggy, I'd like to ask you the same thing.
Well, Solker, I bet you really like having coffee with your Pokemon.
Yes and no. Like, I want to be able to have all of my Pokemon join me at the table for coffee. Like, I love, again, love the concept, but I want it to be about all of my team, whether that's just like I have a team of six or I have a team of one. I want them all to be at the table at the same time.
Yeah, I spent 100,000 Poké Dollars on coffee because I'm like, oh, surely there'll be something that unlocks. Nope. It's just money.
Well, so the thing is, the coffee is very useful. One of the teas is like an incredibly efficient way to level up your friendship with your Pokemon. Like, you can get a Pokemon to like max evolution, like friendship level, because I raise Lucarios, so I know, by just buying them literally like 5 cups of tea. So it's like super, super easy to use the coffee/tea system to build Pokemon friendship. So it has a huge and very valuable use if you're looking for it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's easy to get rich in that game, thanks Infinite Royale.
Yep, absolutely.
To answer the question, though, you know, we talked about the Terror League a couple episodes back. Like, I'm really excited about what's on offer. I feel like these leaks usually are pretty reliable. So, you know, I will wait to see what actually ends up being revealed. I think we're only a few months away at this point from Pokemon Day, so I feel like we'll be hearing some stuff very soon. I hope that Wind and Wave, or Wind and Waves, or Winds and Waves, whichever it's going to be, I hope that they're real. I really, obviously, as I've said today and in the past, I really love Alola. So the idea of it being set in Southeast Asia and kind of having like an island theme and, you know, exploring, you know, kind of a different type of setting like that we're used to than what we're used to from the games seems really awesome. I also really like how Alola was a little bit of a break in the formula. I think Scarlet and Violet also did that well. So kind of having like a marriage of those two things where it's not just, oh, do the gym challenges in this particular order. Like, I think if we take a little bit of the Alola challenges, whatever those, really, not the totem Pokemon, but there were, it might have been the totem Pokemon. I really got to replay Alola. And, you know, we've talked about Legends as adjacent to the mainline, so I'm going to talk about it here. Like, we, you know, are being led to believe that the next Legends will take place in Galar. Let's kind of make up for the small size of Lumios. Let's make Galar like Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom Hyrule. It doesn't have to be like the underground and the sky levels. Just, you know, like regular Hyrule. Let's make
like
it
a general big sense of the vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I really, really, really hope that Project Seed really is the Pokemon MMO that we've all been dreaming of. At least I have. I think there's a really easy way to build on that kind of Legends Z2A real-time battle system. You know, and then, like, not only having things like what they're exploring with the Legends Z2A ranked battles, you know, kind of like a PvP, but also bringing in, like, a the raids that they've done. I think that it's a really could be a great way to kind of marry all of the ideas that they've kind of been introducing, you know, in the Switch era. So that is a really exciting prospect for me. And, like, since, you know, this is our wishful thinking time, like, the rumors are that it will have Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, and Sinnoh. But let's just, like, let that be a starting place. And then, like a real MMO, you know, it could add future regions and future expansions. So, like, it's like, oh, we're going to be releasing the Unova expansion. Like, I just want the entire Pokemon world. So kind of building on what Sulker said. And when it gets to Alola, you can go to space. Ultra space.
Excellent. Just to wrap that up, I should note, for me, I think the ones I really want are, like, the things I really want are for, like, the next remakes to be Alola and Kalos, maybe. I feel like returning to those regions is, like, really needed. I'm really excited, though, for future iterations to continue embracing some of these open world game designs. I'm really hoping that they embrace larger worlds. I think I was pretty clear that one of my issues with Legend Z2A was with the world size. And I really do think that that's tied to this transitional Switch 1 generation that we're just wrapping up. So I'm hoping from here that the future opens up. With all of that having been said, then, the B-side to this question is, what types of spin-offs are we hoping for?
Wait. B-side? I think you mean Burmy-side?
For decades, many of us, certainly myself included, would cite a new Pokemon Snap for these types of Pokemon talking points. But since the release in 2019 of new Pokemon Snap, we've needed to find a new object for our unrealized affections. For me, I'm personally hoping we someday get a new collaboration with Nobunaga's Ambition in the form of a new Pokemon Conquest. But how about you guys? Sulker, Slaggy, what types of Pokemon spinoffs are you hoping that we see? And Sulker, I'd like you to start.
Hey, real quick. Why isn't this episode called Episode Burmy Your Gaze? Just a thought.
It is now.
let's see, I would like a spinoff that watches me when I'm sleeping and knows when I'm awake. Just kidding. I really do not want more things like Pokemon Sleep to exist. I think what would be a lot of fun for me, maybe not for the whole fandom, is an official TTRPG or tabletop role-playing game. Yes. I mean, that's not what we're really discussing here today, but we're talking wish fulfillment, right? And all of that. I think that would be a fun side concept. I'll say what my heart wants, which is a Pokemon Musou. Let me have an Arcanine that can ride around and destroy armies and conquer nations, please. I know that's kind of similar to the theoretical concepts behind Pokemon Conquest, but I think it could be an interesting and new concept, at least.
Okay, no, but actually that's perfect. So Pokemon Conquest is already like collaborative, like tie into Nobunaga's ambition and stuff. But the thing is, Dynasty Warriors / Musou is also a spinoff of Nobunaga's ambition and that broad series of games. So honestly, they could literally just do new Pokemon Conquest or Pokemon Conquest 2, have it be Pokemon Musou, and it literally ticks all of the above boxes for both of us.
Yeah, I would play so much out of that game. And if I could name my Pokemons, then I'm going to get a Lucario, and I'm going to name it Lubucario.
Labubucario will be my new Lucario. I'm obsessed. I need this game to exist now. And Psyche, what about you?
You know, it's funny because I've thought about, with all my talk about horde modes in games like in Rivals, and I was enjoying it in Fortnite, but we'll talk about that on the next mainline episode of Game Buoy. Not that this is mainline, you know, but this is
Game Buoy, no more!
I think that a horde mode where you're like, how many Caterpies can you knock out in 3 minutes, or I don't know. I'm surprised neither of you asked for, like, you know, Pokemon Trozei or Pokemon Dash, or, you know, especially Poképark Wii.
You troll.
You don't want to see those come back? My real answer, though, is that unsurprisingly, I would love to see a revisitation of the trading card game role-playing game, or, you know, TCG GB. Like, I would love to see a modern RPG of the TCG. At the very least, if they could just localize the sequel that was never localized over here, it was kind of Team Rocket focused. Like, they've brought over other games for Virtual Console or, like, Nintendo Switch Online classics and stuff. So stranger things have happened. Like, I feel like, come on, throw us a bone here.
Throw us a freaking bone here.
Throw us a freaking cube bone. And, you know, Legends has kind of superseded this sort of niche, but it would kind of be cute to revisit the Pokemon Coliseum, Pokemon XD series. I feel like that has a pretty loyal fan base. Or at the very least, just put those up on GameCube Classics Online.
Yeah, really. Those should be on GameCube Classics Online. And you know what? To the same degree that they had support for the transfer pack, they should have support for Pokemon Bank.
You said support for trans, and I was like, what?
Ah, fair. But no, the transfer pack what was that?
Right. I was just going to say, Sylveon is trans rights, but
absolutely.
One of the things that I'm really surprised is that, especially with Pokemon Bank being a thing now, like, that we haven't seen a new Pokemon Stadium type game that has, like, seasonal challenges. Like, oh, this season, you know, these Pokemon are banned or whatever. I don't know. Like, you know, I feel like they do have, you know, Pokemon esports with whatever the current Pokemon game is. But, like, if they had a Pokemon Stadium game that was kind of like, I hate to say it as a game as a service, but, you know, like, an ongoing game where you could battle, like, it's kind of the main hub.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Slaggy. Have you heard anything about Pokemon Champions?
I thought that was one of those, was that Pokemon Masters, one of those games?
No, Pokemon Champions is entirely different.
So Pokemon Masters, the game that you were thinking of, that's a mobile game. And we're actually going to talk about that in a sidebar in a minute. Pokemon Champions, I actually think technically Pokemon Champions, which is an upcoming 2026 release, I believe does have a mobile client, but it is otherwise pretty much exactly what you're talking about, being a Pokemon Stadium type experience meant to be sort of the new meta platform for competitive Pokemon PvP.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You know, I think that we were all just focused on Pokemon Sleep.
And in fact, my understanding is that for the Pokemon World 2026 series, they're going to be using Pokemon Champions. So we should be seeing this relatively soon. And yeah, the website here for Pokemon Champions does note that cross-platform support will permit players to compete on Nintendo Switch or mobile devices. And you'll be able to bring your Pokemon from Pokemon Home into Champions to assemble your teams.
Oh, well, yeah, I completely forgot about that. Then, let's count that one as one checked off the bucket list, wish list.
Heck yeah. All right, very, very good. Unless you have anything else to add, I think it might actually be time to get to that sidebar.
Pikachu, fuck you, Ditchu.
I actually would like to see a new iteration of Pikachu, Genki, Ditchu.
Yeah, maybe. Of, yeah.
Speech language maybe. Recognition stuff has come a really long way, and they could probably do a lot more with it.
Yeah, maybe you could, maybe Pikachu could use AI to learn what you're saying, and you could, you know, make him say, Pika, 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 Pikachu. Pika. Oh,
God, right? All right. All that having been said, this is nearly a wrap. But I do want to ask you guys, there are two very long, surprisingly long-lived Pokemon mobile games that still survive from the old days when we were doing Stabcast. I am talking about Pokemon Go and the aforementioned Pokemon Masters. These are both still kicking. I would love to hear both of your thoughts. And I'll start this one with Sulker so that we can start the next one with Slaggy.
Nope. I'm not playing these anymore. I gave up the ghost on them, or the ghastly on them, I guess is the right phrase to use here. Pokemon Go doesn't really hit in the same way for me anymore. I know that it's all still really about, like, they've updated a lot of the ways that you can play the game, but I don't know, it doesn't trigger a serotonin response in my brain, and so therefore I just don't go back.
No, I feel that.
Pokemon Masters, while fun, does feel like a pure Wailord hunting exercise. I used to come back for all of the anniversaries to try and, you know, get new Pokemon, get new partners, get that whole thing going, but after a while it was just like, man, you hit a wall, and you're clearly supposed to be trying to get the next best thing. And honestly, like, if it's not part of the gameplay to me, it just feels like a cash grab. And I don't think I will be returning to either of these titles, if I'm being truly honest with myself.
Yeah. You know, I really have dropped off of Pokemon Go and the other Niantic games because I have some concerns over maybe... some profit motives they carry with regard to keeping all of our location data. Pokemon Masters, however, I am a little bit still on the treadmill of, like, whenever they do an event, I come back and I guess I'm trying to get all the new partner pairs. Cool! Slaggy, what about you? Have you been keeping up with these ones?
Pokemon Go? How about Pokemon Go to the polls?
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
Oh... unfortunately, I don't. That first year or so with Pokemon Go was really magical. I remember, you know, we would go out to, like, real life parks to go Pokemon hunting. Like, that was just, like, very special. But unfortunately, I think the pandemic probably played a big part in that, but you know, I kind of fell off of Pokemon Go. And I mentioned with TCG Pocket, I don't really engage well with mobile games for a long time, but if by different partner pairs you mean that I could end up having Professor Kukui and Professor Toro as my partners in a throuple. Yes, please.
I mean, not really, but I love the energy that you're bringing to it. It's more like, I mean, I think Kukui might actually be a partner that you can get with a character, but I, because it's like,
you get a Kukui at that.
Yeah, you get a trainer and then like their signature Pokemon, and like you can have different versions of that trainer and a different signature Pokemon. And so it's all just very, gotta collect it all, gotta collect it all.
Well, shirtless Kukui, say no more.
All right, say goodbye to your dollars.
No, no, I probably won't, but new fanfic dropping soon. Just kidding.
Excellent. Well, then, we have one more sidebar here, and we are going to start with Slaggy. I apologize for having one more thing, but this was Slaggy's sidebar. That having been said, then, I would like to ask both of you your favorite Pokemon. I'd like to hear both your favorite classic / all-time Pokemon, but also one just from the modern era. And to get you started, keep things fair, classically, I go Articuno. But in recent years, it's been the Dreepy line for me. From Dreepy to Dragapult, I love my little ghost dragon weirdo. Slaggy, what about you?
So, Gen 3 counts as classic at this point, right?
Yeah, the passage of time is a cruel thing.
Yeah, very clearly classic.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, barring Gen 1, Gen 2, I mean, Suicune is obviously always a great choice. But one of my favorite from the earlier gens has always been Sableye. He's a spooky cutie. He is immune to 3 types of damage. Until Fairy type was added, he had no weaknesses. So, like, Ghost and Dark, super, super awesome. And, like, he's a cutie, which I can't say about Spiritomb, although I think Spiritomb technically is a little bit stronger stat-wise. Modern day is definitely Appleton from Sword and Shield. Like, Applin is super cute, the pre-evolution, or, you know, the base Pokemon. Flapple, which could also evolve from Applin, is pretty great. Now they have Hydrapple, which is from one of the DLC from Scarlet and Violet. He looks pretty cool too, but in my eyes, nothing can beat my adorable Apple Strudel Dragon. Also, you didn't ask, but my favorite Ultra Beast is Buzzwool, because we love an intergalactic mosquito himbo.
Ah, I knew you were going to pick that one.
And that's what you're going to start writing in that fic.
Ah. And then what about you, Sulker?
You're not wrong.
Classically, going back to the Gen 1 days, Growlithe and Arcanine always and forever. I think with Arcanine in particular, aside from like the cute dog aesthetic, which is a big thing for me, I love that like in the original game, it's described as sort of a legendary Pokemon, but we all know that it's not. It's just kind of like a Pokemon you can get from, you know, like Cinnabar Island, and you can evolve it with a Firestone and all that good stuff, but it feels more mythic and epic in that way to me. And maybe that's where all of that energy comes from for me. Like, oh, very similar. Like, I feel like I should be legendary, but I'm not. In recent years, I think it goes to Dashbun, because when we were playing through Scarlet Violet, this Pokemon was a powerhouse for us. I remember Ivy breeding like for the entire group a series of little bun boys that we could use to take out some of the raids that were focused on weaknesses to fairy. So them's my two babies right now.
Yeah, those soft buns were very good and versatile in the raids.
Yeah, I actually remember pretty much everyone having their own little trained Dash buns, and we all had different bread pun names for them. That was a really wonderful, fun little moment.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, all of that having been done and all of that having been said, I actually think we've come to the conclusion of our discussion. Do either of you have anything to add at this point?
Pikachu, Pika, Pika, Pika.
Boba Fett.
Perfect. All right. Then thank you so much, Sulker, for coming through today. One last time, when and where can our listeners find you?
I'd like to take a moment and talk to your faithful listener. Look, you've made it through the episode. You need to wake up. This has been about you the whole time. We need you back here in the Poké Realm. You are in Mewtwo's Genjutsu. Wake up! We need you! We can't Mega Evolve! Wherever danger lies, that's where you won't find me. Find me online at monarchpiratica.bsky.social. And thanks for having me, gang.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming through.
Well, your studio is on the way to work, so, you know, it works out well for me.
Oh God, you had to work today?
No, but I work from home, so the studio's on my way from home to work.
Yeah, I know.
Ba-dunts. All right. Well, Slaggy, I think it's time for you to serve up that exit lewd.
Yeah, we got another response to our question of the week. To save us a little time, I will not reread that question of the week because we did read that out on the Part APOM episode of Pokemon Review. And this response comes from Garth Wolf over on Blue Sky, saying, I finished Legends Z to A, and while I overall enjoyed it for being a more small-scale experience, I couldn't help but think the story moments would have hit much harder had they implemented voice acting. It's 2025, and even Zelda has voice care.
Strongest agree.
Pokemon, what's the holdup? Yeah, yeah. Continuing on to say, I will say that in terms of more recent Pokemon games, Shield takes the cake for me. I love exploring the Galar region and how fleshed out the towns and buildings are. Remember when you could commonly go inside stores and houses? Wild, I know. The gym battles are the most exciting they've ever been, and that gym battle music had me bopping along. Mega Evolutions are still my favorite generational gimmick, but Gigantamax battles are where I sat there looking up at Daddy Pangoro, awakened the furry macro side of me. Might get art soon. Galar regional Pokemon and the environmental storytelling they did with the Pokédex was really haunting in some cases. Galarian Corsola, anyone? Oh, yeah. And then continuing on, wrapping up, it's frustrating because I feel like the Dexit controversy overshadowed an incredible game where I'd rather Game Freak focuses on quality over quantity. Well said.
Yeah, yeah, there's so much here. I actually do want to dig into a couple of these points, and I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on these. One controversial aspect of Legends Z to A that we didn't really talk about, but which it did take a fair amount of flack for, is the fact that the game does obviously have a lot of dialogue in-game. During several of the cutscenes, they even animate like lip flaps. But there are still is no spoken dialogue. It's still just text printed on the screen. But at that point, when you've literally animated cutscenes that have animated lip flaps and everything, it starts to feel like the voices are straight up missing. And so to that degree, I actually am inclined to agree with Garth Wolf here. Were that either of your opinions? And I guess I'd like to start with you, Sulker.
Absolutely. No, this game should have been voice acted. Like, I think I was sitting there doing voice acting for it because it felt like that's what we should have had. I think in particular, there's like a really missed opportunity with like not having some of the older like characters from the X and Y game, like L, for instance, not having a voice, because I think that there would have been like a wealth of opportunity for a talented voice actor to draw on that character's background and sort of act through some of the turmoil that they were facing in the game. And I think that that would have been a nice addition to the world.
Absolutely. I fully agree. And then Slaggy, I'd really like to hear your take too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Sulker saying that he did voice acting while he was playing, because when I was playing through, every time I encountered Mabel, I imagined Sulker doing the voice as he may for a TTRPG. Mabel gives big Sulker energy. Complimentary.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. No, that's that. I took it as such.
Let's see, and then please continue.
I hope that in the next generation that we get some voice acting. I think it's time.
Absolutely. The other one I really wanted to pick up on that Garth Wolf had said, though, was when you look at Pokemon Legends Zeta A and you consider it compared to the older classic games, but even more recent ones, as recent as, you know, Galar, you could still go into buildings, explore houses and stores and what have you. A lot of that has been really dramatically reduced in Legends Zeta A. Most of the city is just, you know, polygon boxes with no entrances, no interactables, and just the facade of a building. It's obviously fine within the context of being a city in a game, but because it is the only city and the only location in the entire game, it actually really did stand out to me how non-interactive, like 90% of the city really is. And I'd like to hear if either of you had had those feelings as well. And Slaggy, we can start with you on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we kind of saw that with Scarlet Violet, where you would go into the stores and it just opens up a menu. I'm like, oh, man, at least you could go into the little cafes to battle and stuff. Like, that's cute. But yeah, give me explorable houses. Like, part of those, you know, going back to Gen 1 is going into the little houses and, like, you know, even if it has no real bearing on the story, just the world building it does to see, like, who's in the house and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it really giving it a sense of place, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and I think my thought here is that it does feel like the world is a little flatter because of it. We get to see a lot of, like, interesting little alleyways that you can find by, like, blowing up things with your Pokemon moves and all of that. And that's fun, but it doesn't feel like a real city in that regard because you're just, oh, look, I walked through an alleyway. It almost feels more like a maze in a lot of regards than a place that people live in. And I suppose the story elements of adding wild zones every other day probably helps that feeling. The only other thing I'll say here to Garth is if you're going to do that art, you might as well include Machamp because human-like Pokemon, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I would really strongly recommend Buzzwool, obviously.
Incineroar?
The author's thinly veiled fetish.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, I believe that was our social link. Slaggy, you got some solicitations?
And speaking of the author's barely disguised fetish, we love your feedback. We love your ratings and reviews. Facebook. Are you, like, just let me know when I need to stop shouting out Facebook, like, when we finally are not trapped on the metaverse.
You got it, dude.
You can find us on Blue Sky. Our handle is gamebuoy.org with an actual dot.
Gamebuoy.org
with an actual dot.
Oh, wow. We're on Mastodon at Gamebuoy at mstdn.games.
At Gamebuoy at mstdn.games.
And you can check us out on YouTube as well, although there were some issues with it, like, auto-syncing there, so I don't know how long that's going to last. Because, yay, Google! But we're Gamebuoy.org there if you want to check us out there.
Gamebuoy.org.
You can email us at gamebuoy.org@gmail.com with the .org spelled D-O-T-O-R-G.
Gamebuoy.org@gmail.com with the .org D-O-T-O-R-G spelled out.
Indeed. And if you haven't gathered yet, our home base is gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
Where you can find all the show notes for every episode dating back to 2012. Geez, what would that have been? That would have been maybe the black and white era? Black 2, white 2 era? Oh, boy.
Probably, yeah.
And please let us know, of course, if you feel that we should be somewhere else that you would like to see or hear Gamebuoy. The podcasting landscape has changed quite a bit in the past few years. RIP Stitcher Radio. We'd love to know where you'd like us to go. And we'd like you to go check out some Friends of Buoy.
If you're friends with Buoy, then you're friends with me. If you're down with Buoy, then you're down with me.
As ever and always, first off, I'd like to point you in the direction of Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, our friends and inspirations from whom we take so many of our cues. As of this recording, the final episode of OLR recorded the week before last. We were there live in the chat room. It was legendary, not least of all because at the end came the announcement that a new production will be rising from the ashes from some of the involved parties. Please join us in looking forward to OLR 2DX come January. I'd also like to point you in the direction of Aftermath. Aftermath, in their own words, is an independent, worker-owned website about video games, other media, and internet culture. In my words, they're the audience-supported, hint hint, site that many of our faves have landed at. We cite them all the damn time, and we strongly encourage you to check them out, as well as to support them if you like what they do. I'd like to point you in the direction of The Game Mechanics, where they kick the tires and run diagnostics on tabletop experiences. Hosts Logan Jenkins and friend of the show Greg Leatherman have been playing games for years and have designed and released several games themselves. Please check them out. And last but certainly not least for me is Walloping Web Snappers, a Spider-Man podcast. Doug and Derek dive into every Spider-Man cartoon ever made, from the swingin' 60s through to the rockin' 90s, to Spectacular, Ultimate, and beyond. What about you, Slaggy?
Well, before I do my normal shout-outs, I'd like to give a special shout-out and congratulations to Greg from Game Mechanics on his recent successful Kickstarter for his latest game, Domeskai Tamers, which is short, I believe, for Domesticated Kaiju. Basically, the Pokemon TTRPG that we have been hoping for, but, you know, obviously not official. Don't come and sue them, Nintendo. I look forward to playing it. I just thought it was topical to give that a shout out. I would like to shout out to the Bobby Black Wolf Show, a weekly internet radio show and podcast discussing the latest news in gaming, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. Bobby Black Wolf and the Bobby Black Wolf Show are a part of the Voice of Geeks Network, of which we are also proud members. I'd like to shout out to the Nintendo Pal Block podcast, a dive into the week that was in the world of Nintendo, part of the Boss Rush Network. Over on Blue Sky, you should go check out Standard Issue Computing for retro and modern computer games, hardware, software, and history, and lots of fun topical topics like PlayStation or Dreamcast and what have you. It's a good time. I'd also like to shout out to Sasha's Retro Bytes on Blue Sky for bites of vintage gaming, including magazine scans and photographs. And one of the magazine scans was about if you needed Nintendo to repair your Nintendo gaming system, you could do that. And it had a little picture of Donkey Kong stepping on an N64. That's the type of thing that you will get on Sasha's Retro Bytes.
Cute.
I'd like to shout out to the website and YouTube, Defunct Games, your daily source for modern video game reviews, exciting trivia competitions, and old school magazine analysis. And speaking of YouTubes, I would like to direct you to Thomas Game Docs, where each video covers a different aspect of video game history, such as game development and sound design for beloved Nintendo franchises. And hey, speaking of sound design for beloved Nintendo franchises, our wonderful theme music was done by the late great Zelda Reorchestrated. That was a project that reorchestrated beautiful Zelda music in gorgeous symphonic sound. Thankfully, the legend continues in the form of ZREO Second Quest. Go check them out and show your support at ZREOSQ.com. And a very, very special shout out to my hot robot boyfriend, Craig, and his evil twin, Giark. They are our robotic recording engineer and backup engineer. Without them, Game Buoy would not be possible in the modern area, so definitely check out Craig and Giark, if you're nasty, over on Discord. Well, I mean, you could add it to your Discord if you have disco recording needs.
Did you say disco recording needs?
I said disco recording needs.
I, disco recording needs.
Ah! All right, the coming days. We are a bit off schedule due to a family medical emergency that occurred during the originally planned recording time for this episode. But we should be back at you in, let's call it 2 weeks, for some winter festivities. So please look forward to that. But until then, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay strong.
Stay strong.
Stay strong.
And Articuno, Jinx, Nidorina, Beedrill, Haunter, Squirtle, Chansey, Pokemon,
Parasect, Execute, Muk, Dewgong, Pidgeotto, Lapras, Vulpix, Rhydon.
At least 150 or more to see, to be a Pokemon master is my destiny.
Burmy.
Meowth, that's right.
That little F-slur cat.
All right, guys, that sounds like an episode to me.
We did it.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was all. I thought we had really good energy for all that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Make me miss Stabcast a little bit. Like, not like a whole lot. Like, I don't want to be on a podcast regularly again. But the feeling was there.
Well, I imagine we will have you back on, Booby. I was going to say anytime you want, but I mean, like, I'm sure, like, you wouldn't want to be on every week.
I could definitely see us calling you in regularly for Pokemon discussions.
I think that's reasonable. If there's anything else you guys ever want me on, like, feel free to throw me in.
Our Pokemon correspondent.
Okay, Pokespondent.
I'm reporting to you from the Hoenn region, where I am Hoenn. Feel free to use that. In...
I was going to say, that's coming in the bloopers. Good.
Happy to help.
Right, well, I need to go Pokemon Yellow, if you catch my drift.
All right. Have fun. I hope it's not a Pokemon Red, and I'll talk to you later.
Oh, God. I hope not either. Good.
Pokemon Go Piss, girl.
Pokemon Go to the Piss. Bye. Good.
Now recording.
Hi, Daddy.
Now recording.
I was going to try to think of a Pokemon pun, but none came to mind.
Wait, dads in Pokemon?
They don't have dads in Pokemon, only moms, because the dads all fucking leave their kids.
Exactly.
Well, remember, in the words of Oda-san from One Piece, moms are antithetical to adventure.
But they're the ones who kick you out of the house and say, get on with it, kid.
Oh, you don't gotta tell me.
Aww.
But you can come back and get your Pokemon healed, and sometimes they'll save some of your prize money and buy things without asking.
Just like a mom.
Just like mom. Gonna spend your cash. Like a mom, infinite wealth. Because mom keeps getting your money. If it's a Ryugagatoku joke.
The thing is, I got it, and I thought it was funny, but I'll probably include all of that.
Good.
I thought it was a Ryugagging mom joke.
I mean... Speaking of daddies. Good.
All right.
I'm your theme song.
Good.